Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Daniel chapter 7, we said that the Jews, as God's chosen people, are no better than we are. Just as any person that has been given a ministry is no better than any other Christian. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, being chosen people doesn't mean they're better people. For an example, God has chosen me to be a pastor. Now, that doesn't make me better than any other Christian. It just means that there's a specific thing that God has for me to do. And there's something that God wants to do through me. But it doesn't make me better than anyone. And, well, the Jew is God's chosen people. But it doesn't mean that they're the better people, the smarter people, but they're God's chosen people. You can have a child that is smarter than another child. However, the father of that other child doesn't matter. That's his child. And when it comes down to a choice, it's his child that he chooses. And, you know, that's what it comes down to. It's not who's the best. It's God's choosing. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about predestination now. I'm talking about the call of God and the various things that he has for us. Because on the one hand, for salvation, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But for Christian living, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before already, in other words, ordained, that we should walk in them. So what I'm trying to say here, God is not making the Jews our servants, nor is he making us their servants in the eternal kingdom. Now, the Bible does say in 1 Corinthians that we shall judge angels. Angels are ministering spirits, the Bible tells us. They are those who minister for us who are the heirs of salvation. And so, the servants in the kingdom are not going to be Gentiles or Jews. It'll be angels. And God will allow us to set over them. Now notice, the term Most High is used, and it's plural. Why is it plural? Because it's referring to the Trinity of God. You see, God is three eternal distinctions in one divine essence. That's why when you see God in its plural form, and speaking of Almighty God, it's plural, but it's always followed by a singular verb, meaning that that plural is of one essence. And we shall rule and reign with him forever. And Revelation 1 and verse 6 says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now it takes us on into verses 19 through 22. Of Daniel chapter 7. There we read, then I would know the truth of the four beasts, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns which were in his head, and the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now, we have details added here that we did not see in the first part of this chapter. In verse 19, it speaks of the nails of brass. Verse 20, we see the horn that come up, and it has a look that is more stout than his fellows. Then in verse 21, it tells us he made war against the saints. Now, in making further observations, verse 8 had stated the little horn, and yet it told you the idea of it growing. In other words, it does not stay little, and it becomes more stout than his fellows. And so we're reminded of the old empire, the old Roman Empire, that in the place where these three horns were, now this one comes up in their place, and he's more powerful than the other three were combined. He's more stout than his fellows. You know, we see the claws, and the claws tear out those that offend his kingdom. Particularly, it seems like it's the saints of God. Now, by the way, I'm not waiting for man to declare me a saint. When I got saved, God declared that I am a saint, just like anybody else that gets saved. If you're saved, you are a saint. So, that's God's declaration. Now, a man or a church may never declare me a saint. That's all right. His declaration is much more important to me. And we're told he makes war with the saints, and he prevails against them. That would be kind of discouraging and disconcerting to say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm trusting in God, and this wicked leader is attacking us for our faith. He wants to destroy us, and he kills many. And perhaps these people are just wondering, what's happening here? Well, the Bible says that he'll make war, and that he would even prevail. And the idea for prevailed carries the basic idea of capability. The Antichrist will be successful in his war against the saints during the tribulation period. In respect to the Jews in the tribulation, he'll be able to do away with at least two-thirds of them. In Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, we read this, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die." When is that? Well, it's during the tribulation. And then he goes on to say, "But the third shall be left therein." God preserves a remnant. He says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God." Well, we see that he's talking to the Jews there, and he says, all right, I'm going to take two-thirds out. They're going to die in that tribulation period. Now, in respect to the Gentiles, the Antichrist will kill a great number of them. In Revelation 13, he says, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience of the saints. You see, ours is to endure in faithfulness and holiness in all our trials and to do it without compromise. And that, my friend, will please God. And when this Antichrist does his things that he does, and he kills a great number of people, it may end up causing some economic hardship. Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now, here we see that when people reject him in this tribulation period, they are put in an economic hardship. They can't even eat if they don't receive his mark. Now, to the world, the Antichrist is going to be like that image in Daniel chapter 2. To the world, he's going to seem great. To the world, he's going to seem beautiful. And so that's what the world sees in Daniel chapter 2. However, in Daniel chapter 7, the world sees that Antichrist much differently than the world sees it. The Antichrist may seem like a great leader, and he may talk of peace and prosperity and of plenty. And the world today seeks those things as an end in and of themselves. And they seek those things as there is no eternal life. They don't see it as a means to lead them to Almighty God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, as Christians in this present age, we should count it all joy to pass through this earthly life as strangers and pilgrims, sharing with Christ in his rejection. For us, this is a time to suffer for righteousness' sake. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, it says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ. Christ Jesus.